So what are we doing to get more support from Debian? Pues, for the moment, in Debian, in the next Debian conference in Argentina, for the first time, we are going to provide stands or booths for corporations that support Debian, so they could show what they're doing what they're doing with Debian. And also in the Debian conference report, we also promote this company that helped Debian, or in this case, the Debian conference.
Okay.
And this is the part from Saiki.
Okay. Do you want to split questions so you can ask Hannibal questions now on his part? Questions?
How we see big corporations are helping, or how are responding to the support that big corporations are giving to us, but we would like to get more support from big corporations. We having this presentation because at work we would like to see more support for Debian, because we could provide that support within our own company or for the company for which we work.
So what do you mean by more support? Do you mean more money from the existing companies like HP, IBM, the ones you listed? Or do you mean trying to get new companies involved?
Both.
We want give us more money. Time, server, hardware, and everything.
We would like more funding, and we also like more support for the software that we create and we distribute.
Not at all. We have an association that represents us. We have existence. So if you really want to give us money, you will find a way.
There is a incorporated organization which is called SPI, and through SPI we get this funding from any company that wants to provide funding for Debian. Here in Australia, Linux Australia provides that support for Debian. That has happened before.
Is there a way to get an idea of where your funds were coming from? Is there a public
financial report? Yes, SPI provides those reports and that accounting information.
This will be more included in the second part of the talk, but basically everything that helps, you know, if you hire Debian developers and you let them time to actually work on Debian, giving back what you do on Debian products, testing infrastructure, if you're using Debian every day on your hardware, if you certify it, it will help, all these kind of things.
I suppose they is because they use Debian. Hewlett Packard, for instance, provides a lot of funding for the Debian conference, and it's because I think they use Debian internally and in the products that they ship. Yeah, they are here on the back too.
And we'll eventually take over the world, and we'll be gentle to them then.
The company that's making us
they provided funding for the Debian conference in Edinburgh last year. That's why we have them on our website and on the t-shirts. I don't know that personally. No, what about you? Do you know about that?
Okay.
Impediments for contributing to Debian.
You're asking.
Or the other Martin. Martin should know too.
Okay.
Martin, do you know if there is any impediment for companies to provide support for Debian?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you know if there is any impediment for companies to provide funding for Debian? Do you have, you may have?
Yeah, the company won't contact us and say, oh, we really want to help you, but we can't. We're like, oh, cool. You get karma points. Thank you.
That's basically Seki's part of the talk. We want more use, more companies providing support for Debian, like Hewlett Packard does. I think we could continue with the second part.
Okay, so I'm going moving on to the second part. So I'm going to talk about how bigger companies are actually providing corporate support, like running Debian on the servers, on their hardware, shipping Debian, putting Debian stickers on their website, and all these kind of things. I'm going to try to explain to you why I got to this kind of thinking and this kind of ideas. I joined a really great company a few months ago, which does the right things and does open source and, you know, gave lots of things to the community. And I was really surprised that if they did most of what I thought was the right choice technically in many fields, they didn't do it on the distribution they chose to support. I won't name what they use, but it has a green logo. Well, and so I started poking around, trying to understand why we don't use what most of people will agree that is technically better. Anibal said it. I work on the XFS team at SGI here in Melbourne. We are 6 developers, at least 5 that I know, are using Debian on their test machines, on their work machines. Like, we have Nathan that is maintaining XFS progs in Debian that is still really related, and he was tech lead there. So it's really, really present in the whole company. So here is the fruit of my analysis. Before I start, are there any CDOs, CEOs, or people with decisional power here, so I can smile at them more widely? Okay. So first thing is we need to be able to provide corporate support. I think that's the first thing that we need to sell. When we sell big hardware, the first thing that people will ask us is, and what if something goes wrong? So you can try to answer, nothing will ever go wrong, we just roll, but you know, it's IT and everybody knows that things tend to go wrong all the time. What we currently are able to provide is to have a company that says, okay, we do this distribution and we ensure you that if you run into any problem with our product, we'll have the maintainer that will spend some of his time to try to fix your issue, and if not, we can escalate it, and eventually you will get to the developers to fix your stuff. And that is something that I don't see happening in Debian. No organization can provide this kind of support and say, oh yeah, we will have the Debian maintainer fix it because he's a volunteer and is not hired, and so it makes sense. So we can't ask the customers to just sit there and wait that he, out of his big goodwill, fixes the bug. The only thing we could do is maintain a package by ourselves, then provide him the way to get that package, then publish the diff and expect it to be synced in Debian, and then we are going to run into the problem that what if the Debian developer does not want to include the change for one reason or another? We have to spend time discussing with him, and you know, you really don't want to discuss with Debian developers on a regular basis. Basically, if we don't manage it well, we will end up maintaining a whole distribution, and that requires a lot of time, money, and people, and you will need that really early in the process, and it's a really big risk to take. Okay, the other thing is that they need someone to blame, as in, you know, really something that they can sue if we can't fix the problem in time. And we need that too, because we are going to sell hardware to them with the support. We're going to make most of the money out of the support, and we need to be sure that the software won't cause the customer troubles that will not let them use the hardware that has been sold properly. And you need a big structure that will be able to take that. I know it would be better if it was like international or stuff. And I don't know of any big support company that could handle that easily, and it will have to be like per region basic, and it's basically lots of overhead and time that is not essentially intuitively wise to spend. Like, it has to be discussed. Okay, other things that we need is we need to hook in the distribution at many places. And one of them is the kernel. The hardware sold will most likely try to have the best of the hardware. And sometimes you need to provide closed source drivers, because this is just the only way you can get what you want out of the hardware. If you're going to buy like the lastest and fastest of something, you really want it to work faster than the cheap Chinese thing that you can buy next door, because you know you paid for it. And sometimes we have things like Ethernet drivers that don't have an open source driver that can provide a performance that is expected. And for that, we need those things. Debian will never ship them, so we could obviously ship them. But sometimes they have requirement of things in the kernel that are not there and that we should like modify. This is what gets me to the second point, kernel symbols, API, and ABI stability. SUSE does this, and they do an amazing job. They basically backport all the cool things that are in the recent kernel to an old version while maintaining symbols and API, ABI stability, so that any proprietary module will always work the same, even though they do provide bug fixes and advanced features on the kernel. The only way that we could do that using Debian is maintaining a kernel, because I don't see that we have any resource to be doing that in Debian now, and that is a huge amount of work. Other things is kernel hacks, like extensions that we need. We have a product that's called DMAPI. It's an extension. It's basically a sort of a super iNotified on crack and steroids that can fly and do lots of fancy stuff. It's really useful. It should really be integrated sometimes. We use it to do fancy data migrating stuff. Anyway, we need a patch into the VFS to do that. And the only product that's used today is something that is a closed source product. And I don't see Debian integrating even a one-liner patch to the VFS to support that. So yeah, the only solutions for today is basically to ship a kernel. But we all know it's a huge amount of work. It has been rejected by the kernel community.
Well, why are you trying to make the Debian?
He's not asking to. He's saying that's why it's hard to get anything in the kernel. That's the reason why Debian wouldn't want to do this.
The thing is that, you know, we need it now because it's useful and it's working. Yeah, as a corporation, because this is what we sell, and yeah, it could be done better. We could spend months discussing with the kernel community and stuff, and get it accepted. The thing is, it's a lot of work. It requires lots of time, and you know, it's the balance between what you want to invest and what you can do. Yeah, well. Well, if you have people that commit that any bug introduced by those features will be fixed by their engineers, which is basically what we do for other distros, then I don't see why not. And there are reasonable patches and there are the reasonable ones, like a few hooks in the VFS and completely changing scheduler or things like that. Have you looked at any Linux distro that is not Debian lately? Yeah, Debian is the only one that does that. Which one? Sorry, which one? You should double check. Yeah, I had the Red Hat tree under my eyes not so long ago, and yeah, there are patches, lots.
Oh, I mean, there are patches, but there are all patches back on certain things which are upstream.
No, not at all. Okay, we're not going to discuss that. But okay, other issue we have is certification. We would need to invest, like, as a company, to certify Debian for security or whatever things. And we can't really explain to customers that this is mostly bullshit. You know, they have this list of requirements that they need to have the certification, and if we can't provide that, if a company can't provide that, that's a big issue, and people won't buy from you. And anyway, for all the others, if they have to choose between this distro or this distro, and this one comes with all those fancy certification and little stamps, then most deciders will prefer the stamped one. Vendors, I know that Oracle will require kernel symbol and API stability to certify a distribution for their product. And again, so that's back to the previous thing. It's really something that we can't, like Debian cannot provide today, and that is a showstopper from anything. So yeah, basically, this is all the things that a company will have to do to support Debian. Now, you will have to put that next to, okay, how many customers are we going to gain if we start supporting Debian? And you will see that the balance is not that easy. If you need people to maintain packages that needed to be diverted because, you know, you have one bug that has been created, you will need infrastructure to allow people to actually sync your packages, to make sure that it doesn't break, to always track newer version. It's a huge amount of work. You might need to maintain a kernel. That's mind-bogglingly, and support and everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, and you have the field engineer. Like, basically, when someone has a problem with some hardware, you will send someone. You have to educate all of those. That's not really that big an issue because you could have an agreement with those people that want Debian, saying, okay, you know, it's a side case. We can provide you support by that company, and then you won't have all the kind of support that you usually have. I think this is an acceptable thing, but. So all the rest is there. So if any of you has a magical solution, I'm all ears, and I will forward that internally. Magical solution one? Yeah, but it's, as I told you, it's not only that. You have kernel modules that you need. And,
sure.
And
like, just to say, hey, large companies pay support Debian, to me, it's kind of on deaf ears because customers aren't buying
well,
Not
exactly. When you're buying a server, you want to use it, you want to upgrade it, you want to administrate it, and Debian provides you ways to do that easily. It also has quality standards on packages and stuff.
It's not a differentiator, right? I mean, he's right. It's the applications that are driving that adoption, and if the ISVs are not porting to Debian because there's nobody to talk to in Debian,
mm-hmm.
or they're getting rejected by Debian, they're getting flamed because they want to run their application on Debian, it's not going to happen. I mean, that's a big inhibitor. That's why it works for embedded, because we don't depend on ISVs. Provide a lot of the stuff for embedded applications.
And in the enterprise space, they need an upstream vendor, they need a corporate entity to talk to,
mm-hmm.
they need someone to take on board the legal liability, to provide all of the support infrastructure, and that's why companies are starting to talk to Canonical rather than Debian.
Yep.
Yep.
That entity exists.
So just to rebalance on you, it's not a decisional thing on the hand of the people that will pay the money, but you have administrator that call for Debian and ask it because they want it for all the administration tasks. Of course, they will need to have support for all the application that they buy the server for,
right.
But people are asking for it.
Yeah, but it's you're putting the cart before the horse in a way. Just because the administrator's asking for Debian does not mean he's going to get it.
No, sure.
Right? Because
but
the application
if
has to be there first.
Sure. Sure, but
I think
that
Debian has been that receptive to binary closed source modules, and I understand why, and I don't mind it, right? I'm a Debian
mm-hmm.
user, and I worked for HP for 13 years, so I know what the enterprise side is like, right? That's definitely.
I mean, I don't think the binary drivers is that big an issue on the enterprise side. I mean, most of the devices we're talking about are graphical devices, and most of the enterprise level.
No.
Listen, they ripped out TG3 firmware. Come on. There was a large period of time where I couldn't even use GigaSat.
It's not.
Fiber,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. We don't care about graphics, really. Well, and the thing is that modules we can ship it. It's not that hard. But as I said, some of those modules will require you to have a specific version of kernel, which we cannot provide. But any company cannot provide at all. So.
Sort of at the bottom level, I mean, I'm in the sysadmin space, and traditionally speaking, a lot of guys would like to run Debian, and there's a lot of places have been for the last 5 years running Debian on everything except the Oracle boxes, which you run Red Hat on. Now, that space doesn't require kernel modules, that space doesn't require anything, but it does require us to go to the manager and say, well, if this breaks, these bunch of monkeys, ring up at 2 a.m. on a Sunday, and they will fix it.
Yep.
If they don't fix it, you can get the vice president to ring up their vice president and yell at him. And I have people up through me that insist on that. And I have vendors who do provide that and vice presidents that get yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the large enterprise space.
Also,
right.
On that level as well, is certification for employees. RHCE, you have to have an RHCE to be a system or a system. There is,
even though, you know, we use Debian, our basic problems are actually because there isn't an equivalent certification from the provider for Debian.
Well, that's the decision of the company that will accept or not to get Debian. You know, it's I don't think.
Well, it makes it hard for us to hire Debian administrators because we don't know where we're basing our hiring solely on what the person says they can do, not, you know, I have a Debian certified engineer.
Well,
they
need
LPI level 2. LPI level 2. It doesn't even register on the radar.
No, but it should because it's approximately equivalent. And that Canonical certification for Ubuntu is a layer on top of LPI level 2. And that way you then got the equivalent of an RHC but for Ubuntu. It's built on top of LPI because LPI deals with that in a nice way. It's like Debian and RPM framework.
If that sort of stuff's out there, it probably needs to be promoted more because RHC is still the industry standard.
Well, LPI is promoted. I mean, every conference I've been to, LPI is in.
I think the thing is the word Debian does not occur. If that's the case.
Yeah, and if managers went to geek conferences, the world would be really different too. Okay, so I think we got all the generous ideas out, so thank you very much for listening.